Welcome to the Doctor Who podcast from Casterbus. My name is Christian Corley, and with me is James McLean. Now, if you listened to last week's show, you'd know that we've embarked upon a marathon of Chris Chibnall's early Doctor Who in order to see if we can spot any sort of patterns or any, and also to see his kind of development as if he's some sort of elementary student. But that's not really the way I meant it. But see how his Doctor Who has evolved over the years. But we're going to take a sidestep from that. We'll be continuing that next week because there is a thing going on with the BBC. And regular listeners will know that we do tend to talk about the BBC and BBC iPlayer and the license fee and Netflix and Disney Plus and all those subscription services that kind of exist as they're competitors to the BBC, aren't they, James?
Well, yeah. So it's the market, isn't it?
Yeah, and it has been announced today or yesterday. I'm looking at, yeah, it was yesterday, big pardon, on Sunday, the 16th of January 2022, that Nadine Dorries, who is the government's culture secretary, has declared that that this will be the last license fee change. Now, this is kind of difficult in many ways, because anyone looking at the BBC objectively could see that there's too much of it. And there's so many ways that they could do things, in my opinion, to kind of sharpen things up. Bringing back a TV channel that no one's going to be watching on TV, hello BBC Three, is one of those things that they seem to have done, which seems to be utterly pointless and a waste of money when they could keep it online, which is surely where the people that BBC Three is aimed at were watching BBC Three. And I mean, is anyone in this day and age got a TV box or streaming stick or something without BBC iPlayer on it that they can watch BBC Three on, that they actually need to get BBC Three through a satellite or an aerial? My mind is blown by that whole thing. So what's happened here is that Nadine Dorries, the UK Government Culture Secretary, has stated the license fee announcement will be the last. The days of the elderly being threatened with prison sentences and bailiffs knocking on doors are over. Time now to discuss and debate new ways of funding, supporting and selling great, and this is her words, great British content. However you feel about great British content, selling it is another matter entirely. I'm of the opinion that there's probably a very comfortable, acceptable middle ground in all of this. The BBC has accused the culture secretary of plunging the broadcaster into a spiral of decline. That's a quote, spiral of decline, unquote. I would say that's been going on for a while, and I'm a bit concerned that no one seems to have identified that there is already a decline happening. It is a bit spiral shaped, and there are, again, as I said earlier, there are things that the BBC seems to be ignoring that they could actually do to turn this into a more efficient system and get actually back to making TV shows and away from some of the online stuff that it does. But, I mean, you know, that's only my opinion. James, there goes the rattle of my teaspoon. What do you think?
It's a difficult one to get into. I mean, we never make these podcasts. They're never intended to be a political free zone.
Yeah.
But I kind of like them being a political free zone, because I think as soon as it becomes political, you polarize listeners. And I don't mean that in any sort of way that we quite honestly particularly care how many people listen. But that can sort of, in a way, stifle debate.
Well, I don't think that's really an issue, because I think, you know, if you go back 16 years ago, the Labour Party government had a big issue with the BBC. So I don't think it needs to be political at all. I don't think we've got any concern.
But it is inherently, it is a political decision. It's political decisions made on particular institutions. And they exist for political reasons. Their timing can be political as well. And invariably, without going into details and without even having to, there is clearly political movements around this strategy of why this has suddenly become an issue right now.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you stand on that issue, I think that's the way I'm trying to say is that I think you can talk about the landscape without having to sort of be sort of taking particular sides on it. You can all make your own decisions on that without being informed by a further two more white middle-aged people. I think the BBC, obviously, the problem I think the BBC has is that how BBC is made, how it's distributed, and how it is consumed is changing at a pace which is far quicker than the institution can find its place within the changing sort of paradigms of entertainment. Everything is shifting and they don't know where to be in it. I think that's kind of part of the problem. The other part of the problem, obviously, is that it's a massive institution. Institutions are invariably complicated with many voices, decision makings, which again can sometimes be political, some of them can be economical, some can be ideological. And those can be internal forces as well as external forces. As you say, and I think it's quite right to say, the BBC and the relationship to governments and policy has been there regardless of whether it's a left or right government. So I think that's important to sort of highlight as well. I think it's interesting if we go back to Doctor Who, how it was Davis, wasn't it, in 2015, who was talking about that the BBC had 10 years left.
Yeah.
Which he seemed to be kind of bang on if one takes the ending of the licence fee, and certainly the ending of the BBC in its traditional understanding. What it could be after that, we don't know. And we have talked a bit about that in the podcasts. You know, what could the BBC do without the BBC licence fee? Oh, you know, what sort of ways could it exist? What would exist? What would be left? I think it's going to have an impact. And there have been people close to the Doctor who have been kind of saying on Twitter today, I think I'm trying to remember who it was kind of saying, if you don't think the changes to the BBC aren't going to affect Doctor Who, think again. How it will affect Doctor Who, how much it will affect Doctor Who, I don't know. Whether this sort of partial move away from being in exclusively internal to being sort of shared with an independent production company, whether that in a way is a half measure which might become a full measure, which might become a way the Doctor Who continues.
Yeah.
So it might not mean the end of Doctor Who. Again, politics totally out of the way. It's hard because I'm not someone who particularly believes in historical legacies as being particularly important. I think what is important is people are happy in the here and now, and everyone gets on and has a good life. I think we sometimes get overly focused on the sort of more, where traditions become traditions simply because they're traditional. But the BBC has a global legacy. You know, it is very much a foundation of what Britain means in a global sense. And if you're looking at global Britain, or even if you're looking at a Britain which is disassociated from strong partnerships with other countries, then you'd still be looking at how it's recognised on the global stage as its own identity. And even in that sense, the BBC is actually fundamentally very important. And whether it's intended to or not, I think there are concerns about whether this could pretty much diminish its value. And by doing so, sort of diminish some of the sort of very clear sort of emblematic notions of Britishness around the world, if that's important at all. You could turn around and go, well, that is not important at all. James, you've just said that it's all about everyone being happy and getting on with each other, and nationality creates territory, which creates division. It's like, well, true. But we're not going to get rid of that.
No, probably not.
So I suppose my argument is, if you do think that Britishness is important, if you do feel that is a notion that's important, then, you know, the BBC is part of that, has been a part of that for a century. So do we need to be looking at trying to make sure that is the case? And if this is largely due to immediate political issues that are going around at the moment, it would be a shame that if that stifled a broadcaster, public broadcaster as an institution, which all parties and all people should have some, hopefully should have, not if not necessarily had pride, but have had pleasure within or seen the benefits of. I think that's a shame, and I agree with you, and I personally don't think the BBC is in a great position anyway. I think the BBC should be far more divorced from politics, left and right. I think it should be far more impartial than it probably can be, because I mean, there are arguments again, whether it's been on against the left or the right, that there's been an interference or the pressures of what can be done to the BBC that can affect its reporting for on both the left and the right. Mm-hmm. Arguments being made for both sides.
And
I'd like to see it's being far more independent and people from those political persuasions not filtering into the BBC. I think there needs to be changes, but I'm not sure whether the changes are happening, or certainly the reasons for the changes don't seem to really hold up at the moment, which is a shame, because as I say, I hope that the outcome of this doesn't impact people of all political persuasions and of all people who enjoy entertainment.
Now, for the benefit of our overseas listeners, because 50% of our audience isn't in the UK, so hello to you all. The license fee in the UK, various countries around the world have their own sort of take on the television licensing and paying for television. So it's vaguely, generally speaking, the BBC, the television license in the UK isn't purely for the BBC. A massive chunk of it goes to the BBC. Some more goes to Channel 4. And there's a few other places where the money for the license fee goes to. It's likely to affect the BBC and Channel 4 the most. I think Channel 4 is already being detached, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been privatised. So that, I must admit, I've not been following the Channel 4 stuff as much. I suppose that's the essence of lockdown. It sort of takes away your routines of keeping up with stuff. And
yeah.
You end up fixating on things which probably aren't.
And another aspect of it all. Sorry?
Of life's, yes. You filter it into depression and crying over the bed, that sort of thing.
Well, possibly, I was just going to explain to the listener as well that if you don't pay the license and you have a television, then you have to pay a monthly bill or an annual bill to pay for the TV license. And if you don't do that, then and you're found to be watching television, then you can be fined or taken to court and stuff like that, which a lot of people don't really feel is particularly fair in this day and age.
But specifically, and one can correct, I'm sure a listener can correct me if I'm wrong, as it currently stands, you don't need a license fee if you are not watching iPlayer or live broadcasting.
Yeah.
So you can be watching Netflix or Prime or a streamer, as long as, again, there's not live content you're watching.
I believe you're correct.
And also the further point is, if you're like a student, you could technically watch iPlayer on a mobile device which isn't connected to your institution, providing your parents, you still technically live with your parents and they have a TV license. So there's some sort of vague, and again, I might not be 100% correct on that. So one should check before they make any decisions. Absolutely. Don't listen to me. That's my interpretation. But the point being is, it's a little flexible, but inherently live television is still a very big thing in Britain. The ratings, the big ratings still come from products that are generated through watching live television. So you wouldn't be watching ITV as well, or Channel 5 or Channel 4, because that would technically be watching something as it's so you could be watching, you can't watch things at the time is the idea, I think. That's when you need your television license.
Yeah.
I think I'm not quite sure ITV stands on this now. As I say, I should have kept up with this.
What are your feelings about how the BBC over the past, say, 20 years has addressed technology, shall we say? My feeling is that it has embraced technology, but I do feel as though maybe, perhaps, it has not made the best decisions with technology. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
You can go out. Anyone can pretty much, if you have a good internet connection, anyone can launch a radio station. Obviously, a radio broadcasting license is going to cost you a bit, and there's various steps that you need to go through in order to achieve that. But anyone can set up a radio station that is on par in terms of sound quality and, with the internet potentially reach as anything the BBC can offer. Now, the BBC has moved into digital broadcasting, and their studios are basically a pair of laptops and a microphone, pretty much what we've got, only that usually have them all in one place, although then again not always the case. And this has partially helped the proliferation of radio stations, not just with the BBC but across the board, commercial stations and local independent stations. I would contend that local independent radio now is stronger than it has ever been, and I do feel that it could supplant the BBC in many places, which is why I wonder whether local radio for the BBC seems to be maybe something that it should maybe move away from and let that fall open to the public sector to deal with most public radio, local radio stations, independent local radio stations are, they depend on sponsorship and donations in order to run. That would seem to me to be something that the BBC could support, but also cut back a lot of money from and put into making programming, whether television or radio programming.
Yeah,
And
I don't
again,
know. I
this
mean,
is
I
that
think.
technology thing that I'm talking about. It's like they've embraced technology, and then they've, this huge website, which they have in the past cut back, but I think looking at it now, it's bigger than it ever was. And that's, I'm not even talking about BBC iPlayer, I'm just talking about bbc.co.uk. It is huge, and it seems to me that it is. There is maybe too much there. They have a BBC News channel on television and on the internet, and then they have a BBC News website. Surely those two things could be integrated. It just feels like it is this huge, as
There's
you
that.
said before, yeah, just this huge thing that is difficult to manage.
I mean, is that because of bad management decisions, or is that because there's a feeling of a greater need to justify the license fee by producing as many services which could thereby have different people justified in using?
Do people want services or do they want good shows, though? That's the question, isn't
But
it?
that's the question, and that's I'm not saying the right decision, but I'm saying I wonder. Because I've seen again on Twitter a couple of commentators sort of demonstrating that they only watch, of all this plethora, they only watch these three things. And you think, well, I understand that. But by that logic, do you not therefore pressure an institution to be creating multiple things? Because you might want these three things. But what about if someone doesn't want those three things? What do they have? Do they need these other three things? No. How do we cater a service which is having to acknowledge a broader representation of people within a population with different needs, desires, and interests. So, do we need to diversify our content, or do we need to be restricting our content to a more consolidated amount that might not reflect everyone as evenly or as continuously? Maybe that's some of the logic that I'd say. I don't work for the BBC. I don't know. I don't disagree with you. There's certainly an argument that you could sort of cut down a load of those things and sort of have it focused on giving, as you say, a sort of more set and well-funded content. But I suppose if the BBC is trying to do the argument of, is it 49p a day, they sort of say, it costs, the license, I can't work it out. I suppose that would be about right, wouldn't it? Would it?
Yeah, roughly
Was
around
it?
that. I think it'd be
Yes,
around
it's
that
about.
sort of area, yeah.
Yeah, if that's the argument, that it's actually costing you very little to have this wealth of services, and suddenly you reduce your services and consolidate them down, does it make it harder to generate that argument of this is what you're paying for? And people are going to turn around and go, but that amount of money still doesn't represent what I like, doesn't represent what I use it for. Because I mean, the person I saw on the internet marked this out. They crossed out some of the BBC Radio and the World Service have been crossed out, something they don't use. So why do I need to pay for all this? And obviously, some people have argued back. You could say that NHS. There's how many of those services do you actually use in your lifetime? But it's good to know that they're there. It's that sort of rationale, which could be again, like I say, what the BBC is doing. So I think there could be a danger in consolidating. I kind of feel the problem is is what you need right now is you need a good space for these discussions to take place, which are not horrendous. They obviously have got to be about economics, but not about commercial, and they're not about political, and they're not about ideological. They're about trying to create a service which is more manageable, which people can see with greater transparency or where their money's going, and is able to do stuff which is impartial, or as impartial as can be. And we just don't see where the space is for those conversations.
No. I mean, it doesn't
That's
seem to
a sad
exist.
Thing at the yeah. moment. I think you're right. I think there could be changes. The changes that are being made will probably are going to disrupt and make the service weaker rather than attack the service to make it stronger. And I think that's a shame for everyone. Because I think, obviously, having a public broadcast is a good thing. In theory, I know some people who are listening to this would disagree, in theory, it should be able to offer news which is less partisan. That is a good thing for everyone. Everyone should be able to turn to your national service, which they feel they can trust. Now, a lot of people don't, from both sides of the political spectrum, and that's a problem. But I don't think the idea of having a public service that creates a wealth of shows based on the need to create, to entertain, educate and inform, if we go back to its original motto, is a bad move. I think that's a good thing for everyone. I think the problem is obviously as communication has become wider, when we're able to speak more with more clarity, people, so these different voices are out there, it becomes hard to sort of say what that is. And can it be sustained without one side declaring that it's too woke or it's too traditionalist or too left or too right? You know, it becomes harder for, you know, something under such scrutiny to find its voice.
When you've got a situation like this where it at present it appears to be kind of a final, there's a certain finality about it, isn't there? This whole, you know, this license fee announcement will be the last. There has to be a place for the BBC to go, and one would presume that that is subscription television, wouldn't one? And if that is the case, then what happens to radio? What happens to the online services? What happens to iPlayer? I mean, iPlayer is probably going to be a big part of it, but, you know, it leaves a lot hanging in the air, doesn't it?
Yeah, which is a shame, because I think really if you're going to come out with this statement, there should be a clear understanding, or there should have been clear talks about where it would go to allow the public to know what the BBC, which for a lot of people is, as I say, very much part of their national identity, is going to be after this. How is it going to exist? I mean, this isn't really feeling like a defund and rebuild the BBC. This feels like a remove the way that the BBC is structured to exist. And then, you know, who knows what will happen after that. That seems to be the focus of the moment. And I don't think that's a particularly good focus I find it a bit shocking, really. You know, I kind of see, you know, especially when you have a Conservative government, and Conservative with a small c is a lot about maintaining traditions.
There's no one Conservative with a small c in the Conservative government, is there? Come on.
But my point being is it is a party that I would have hoped would have protected that tradition, that national legacy. So it's a shame, is what I'm saying. I think I just kind of feel that. And I think it's important to say that people who are happy to lose the licence fee are not just people of Conservative values of the party, or, as you say, a small c Conservative. There's a lot of people on the left who are very anti-BBC for various reasons, and feel it's either that it's failed them, or, again, it's the economics of the costs of it that they resent. It's not, I think it's, again, it's about sort of seeing this as a complicated social issue, that it's not while the decisions being made at the moment come from a specific party with a specific with specific decision makings, the issue itself is a far broader and complicated one, which has pros and cons from all sides of those sort of ideological spectrums.
I was trying to imagine who I would call on. I form a committee of expert broadcasting people in order to help form the new BBC. But I was really struggling to think of anyone beyond Greg Dyke and Sir David Attenborough. To be honest, people with real experience in television, I can't think of anyone beyond those two that would be part of it.
I suppose you'd have to decide what your outcomes are, or what, you know, what would this group be looking to do?
Well, because there's a big I mean, it'd be their job to decide how the BBC would continue.
Because my point being is that, say, Greg Dyke and Attenborough would have very different.
Yes, which is fine, I think.
Different experiences.
Because there needs to be some sort of there has to be a compromise, doesn't there? As I was saying at the top of the show, I said top of the show like we're a thing, but you know, as I said earlier, that there has to be a middle ground for this to work properly. Because if there isn't, then it's going to be horrific.
Yeah, you need some form of working group which probably has representatives of people who study research the BBC, people who are involved in the BBC. You would need people of different political persuasions, because obviously the BBC, if it was to stay in some way publicly funded, if they've not, then maybe you don't need them at all. But maybe you'd want people there of that way to sort of to keep the option of it once again having publicly funded, you know, so that is still, and how that could be sort of placed into, I don't know. I kind of feel like, yes, you say it'd have to be a consortium of people from different experiences, and then those working groups broken down into what you're actually looking at. Are you looking at content? Are you looking at institutional structure? Are you looking at the systems that are created through those structures? Are you looking at the economics? I don't think, obviously, and I'm not suggesting you're saying this, that we'd obviously have just like a round table of people talking about the BBC.
No.
It'd have to be a layered of conversations leading to a report that would look at the potentials and where
Which
it could go,
is,
and then that
you know,
would probably
that's
have to
the
be
sort of
continued.
Thing that happened 15, 20 years ago, and there doesn't seem to be any sign of that happening now. It's basically a government saying, this is what's happening, and the BBC saying, oh, spiral of decline. So there's no plan from the government side, and there doesn't appear to be any plan from the BBC side. And I would think that at this stage, the BBC should have a plan of how to continue if the government decides to cut the licence fee or suspend the licence fee. They must have known this was coming, because we all knew it was coming.
Well, we knew it was coming, but I don't think we knew when it was coming. And I think in the last few days there's been sort of conversations about particular plans coming out of Number 10 that might involve looking at the BBC. But I would say it's probably not enough time for, you know, any sort of well thought out plans or suggestions to come out of the BBC themselves. Because again, it's not like you can have one spokesman who can tell you what the BBC is going to do. That again would have to go through consultations. So ideally, in an ideal world, you would really need there to be the BBC as an institution and the political art and the government to actually come together and actually have these conversations, possibly in private, you know, and have a consultation to get to a point where then they would both be able to say the decision has been made that the license fee is going to be frozen and then removed. These are the plans going forward. But there doesn't seem to have been that conversation. And yeah, I agree. There's definitely an argument the BBC should have seen this coming and perhaps should have had some thoughts of how they would deal with this sort of situation. Or is it politically better, small c politically better to, or even big C maybe, to step back and say nothing and let the public decide? And, you know, if you come out with a plan to say what you would do, then that plan almost becomes a roadmap and you've got no choice. Maybe they're hoping there'll be an outcry and this might shift their government policy a little bit.
Okay.
Don't know.
Let's just step forward a few years. BBC is as we've maybe talked about, well, we have talked about many times in the past, the BBC is a subscription funded online system that you can get through your TV because everyone has an iPlayer app, and they're competing with Netflix and Disney Plus, who are the others, Amazon Prime and whomever. A couple of days ago, I received a few streaming charts from Just Watch, which doesn't provide a vast amount of information, but it does tell us what the most popular streaming shows in the USA are at the moment. We're talking shows like, I don't know what this is, and some of them are movies. So you've got Nobody, you've got Zack Snyder's Justice League, you have Wrath of Man, these are the movies, Free Guy, Wonder Woman 1984, A Quiet Place Part 2, Soul, F9, Tenet, Promising Young Woman. And on the TV front, you have Yellowstone, Rick and Morty, Ted Lasso, Manifest, Better Call Saul, Squid Game, Friends, The Walking Dead, Mayor of Easttown, and WandaVision. So these are the top shows streaming in the USA. Does the BBC have content, I'm sorry for saying that word, but you know, we'll go with the industry parlance, that can fit alongside those shows in our top 10? And I'm
in a global sense,
yeah,
just in a global sense. Well, I don't know. In a sense, should we talk? I mean, if you're talking about what Americans are watching, should we be talking about what British are watching? I don't know.
No, that's a fair point. Yes, probably we should. But assume that iPlayer is available to everyone in the world, as Netflix is. That seems to me the only way the BBC can survive is to put all its eggs into iPlayer and then make it available everywhere, in the same way that Netflix, Disney Plus, etc., etc., etc. are. What BBC shows slot in alongside those?
Well, I mean, we've had some good dramas. I mean, the dramas are very national based, so our dramas tend to sort of carry a little more of I suppose, Better Call Saul, I don't know. But I was just thinking, like, you know, we've got stuff like Line of Duty,
which,
you know, was a massively big hit. I mean, you know, we can ignore Doctor Who for a second, which obviously has a global reach and is still doing very well. The last season, I think, was it this last month, they were saying how well Flux was doing on iPlayer, and Doctor Who overall on iPlayer is still a big pull for audiences. I must admit, at the moment, on a personal level, not that I think it's got much global reach, I do enjoy Father Brown. It's, you know, Father Brown, for those who are outside the UK and for the majority of the people who are in the UK who've got jobs, is, well, on iPlayer, it shouldn't matter, is a sort of afternoon detective drama starring Mark Williams from The Fast Show and Harry Potter, with a far overly, my words escape me. Permanently set in 1953, which I didn't realise until this last week, and it's upset me a great deal because it's 90 episodes so far, almost 100 episodes so far. They have changed the cast. People come in, come out, and it's acknowledged with continuity, and yet it's still always set in 1953. It's blowing my head. It really is doing me in. But it's a beautiful show done by the BBC. There's, you know, I know my mother enjoys Doctors. Again, it's not going to be on a global chart. That, again, very, it sits within our nation very much. Should we have more sort of global stuff? I've not watched the Tenant 80 Day, Around the World in 80 Days, but apparently that's going to be quite good. There's a lot of good things the BBC does. Does it have enough good things to run a national streaming service like an international one like Disney? Probably doesn't have the stuff of that sort of reach.
That's a concern, isn't it? I mean, you've got things like, I don't watch it anymore because I'm not a fan of the lead actor, but you've got Death in Paradise, which seems to be perennially popular. You've got things like His Dark Materials and Call the Midwife seems to continue to be a strong draw. The Apprentice appears to be back. I know the US has its own Apprentice. I've never watched an episode of The Apprentice beyond anything I've watched on Harry Hill's TV Burp, and that finished 10 years ago. So,
I dislike the whole notion of The Apprentice. I think it valorizes again the sort of notion of of money and vacuousness around management, which I just don't think does management or people working get any good.
I think you're probably right
there.
See
that sort of silliness and it being exploited by a TV show. But anyway, yes, as you say, it's still very popular.
Yep.
There's a lot of, there's a lot of quiz shows, which I know sounds, again, people love to throw their value judgments out here. But again, it's about a broadcaster providing a range of different shows which provide entertainment.
Yeah.
And shape a market. The bargain hunt genre has been a big hit over the last 10 years, last 10, 15 years. It's done a lot of, has kept a lot of people happy in the afternoons. We've always had a very strong children's department in terms of producing good children's material through the BBC.
There is some fantastic children's shows on the BBC. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
There's a load of things. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, and this goes back to my original point, is that technology moves at such a rate which affects how everything is created, distributed, and consumed. It is very hard to be able to change models of institutions which have lasted, radio 100 years into something new, and to know what that new thing should look like and how it competes. On not just a national level, but on a global level, how it's represented on a global level. I don't know what the answers are. I don't know whether it would mean creating a subscription service, which was different to the others, which was radically different, which had a lot more live content, which had somehow had radio integrated into a way which was meaningful.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how that could be, whether radio would become something that had far more synergy with the television content. Because podcasts are big and they're big globally. Is there a way that that somehow taps into a part of a subscription service for the BBC? Would it be sort of like a multimodal thing? I don't know. And I struggle with this.
Yeah.
I struggle with sometimes thinking, what are we arguing for here? I mean, if we say, what is the world without the BBC? Is it radically different? The living world? Probably not. People move on to different shows. They all get their news from different services. Does that mean it should happen? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to happen.
No, no.
And it's almost like saying, well, I've loved all the stuff Disney's got, but we'll just wipe Disney out now and we'll obviously watch something else. But it's like, well, does that mean you should wipe Disney out now when people love a lot of their products? Just because people will move on, well, invariably we move on. That's what life is. Life is about moving on. But it's a shame. Life on Mars, we've got, in theory, we've got the Lazarus show in the next couple of years. Yeah, BBC, and I think what a lot of people have said on Twitter has been reminding them is just how many shows have shaped their lives. And they look back and they look at Blackadder. They look at Red Dwarf. They look at The Young Ones. They'll look at the Panoramas. They will look at the Doctor Who's, the Blake Sevens, the crazy sci-fi, the crazy entertainment, the different sort of quiz shows that have sort of shaped them and have made them laugh. And there's just so much that is embedded within British culture. And I suppose that's the big thing here. It's not about it being about history of traditionalism. It's about that sort of cultural legacy, which has impacted on a lot of people, and whether that needs to be totally eroded away, or whether, as you say, it just needs some proper conversations where it's not so much threatened, but is shaped.
I think that's a perfect place to end this week's podcast. Let us know what you think on Facebook and as ever, and we will be back next week. Until then, it's goodbye. In a nice way, not that time really final, didn't it? Goodbye, get out. Right, let me just save that.
Oh, they've